Blog Talk Radio.
You are. You're like, yeah, whatever. You're like, you know, what do you want to do for your birthday? I don't care. I mean, really, you know. But, you know, having kids, they get excited about it. They want to bake me a cake and they want to sing happy birthday to me, but they want to blow out my candles, you know. So.
Right.
But, you know, it's fun for them. And, but I'm glad that your birthday was good. How was your weekend?
It was good. I mean, can't complain. I fished in a bass tournament Saturday. We caught a bunch of fish, but none of them were keepers. We only have one to turn in as a keeper, so we got a few points. I guess that's better than no points. But we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, So how often, like, are you going to do another one?
Yeah, I do it once a month. Every month we do a tournament. We have a meeting on Thursdays and choose which lake we're going to go fish. So,
you know, I'm kind of jealous of that. Like, I would love to be on a fishing team. I'm convinced I'm the fish whisperer, okay? I'm a very good fisher. Very good. I am. Like, there are days when I have an aunt that lives down in Tampa, and she lives on the bay, and, like, her house, you walk out in the backyard, and there's a dock and her boat. And I just sit on her dock. Like, there have been times I've started 10 o'clock in the morning and come in 10 o'clock at night, and I've got two coolers full of fish. And I did some catch and release, you know. But I love fishing. Fishing is so fun. But I do not like to put the bait on, and I refuse to get the fish off. I just cast and I catch.
Well, we don't use, in the tournament, we don't use live bait. We do use artificial baits. But I'm the one that gets the fish off. Dad's getting too old to try to fart with the fish, so I help him out. But, yeah, it was cool. We had a lot of fun until it got blazing ass hot, and then we got off the water. So,
you know what you guys should think about doing, you and your dad? You guys should think about maybe next year going somewhere and, like, doing a shark fishing tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing something?
We got offshore fishing down in Texas. You can go to Galveston and pay somebody to take you out in the ocean and do some offshore fishing. And that might be something we do sometime. This one, it's not just fishing for fun. We're actually fishing for money. So.
Yeah, I know. And those tournaments, you can win some good money, too.
Well, these are little tournaments because it's just a bass club, so we all put in an entry fee, and then they divide it up, you know, top teams or whatever gets the pot. So
right.
It all depends on how many teams fish that weekend, and I know that the team last month got like 200 and something bucks, so
nice.
Money's money in my world.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take it. You know, I mean, think about it. You bought your lunch, you bought your beer, if you're drinking beer with your daddy, you know, and snacks. And
No beer, no alcohol.
Oh, no?
No,
it's
no drinking
allowed
during the tournament. And mom makes the sandwiches, so I don't have to buy lunch.
So I have this dream that maybe someday, I'll rent a boat, and I'll have a lot of alcohol on it, and, like, babes with bikinis, okay, with thongs. And I'm going to get drunk with them while I fish the Loch Ness Monster.
There you go.
And then I'm going to have somebody there to tag his ass if I catch the fucker.
Well,
dude, that shit would be classic, would it not?
Right. Well,
you would want to come on that investigation, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you can drive the boat.
Right.
You can captain it. Yeah.
Well, I normally I have a bio and I have all the information of our guests up on our site and on our radio show page, but due to uncontrollable circumstances this evening, I was sitting here and my power went out and I was like, wait a minute. So the first thing in my mind is, did I pay the electric bill? you know? And then, so
yeah.
I look outside and I start seeing people coming out of their house. So I go outside and I hear a bunch of sirens. So I was like, what the hell's going on? So apparently it knocked out everybody's power. And I hear a bunch of sirens. I was like, well, I got to be nosy and see what the hell is going on. So I drive up the street and somebody, I don't know what they were doing, if they were sloshed, drinking a little cold, too much cold beer, but
Since you're down in Texas, hold on. Since you're down in Texas, they could have been like smoking that bath salt. They had just eaten their baby's brain, and now they're heading down your street. And what did they do?
Well, they took out one power line on the left-hand side of the road. Then I guess they bounced off of that or swerved, and they went across the road and knocked out another power line and ran into a house.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but I was pretty pleased.
How did they take out two poles?
I don't know. They took out a pole on each side of the road, and the road is actually four lanes. So they hit one on the left side and all the way over on the right side in a house.
Well, it sounds like SpongeBob was hanging out with him because SpongeBob is the worst boat driver ever. if you've ever watched SpongeBob, he goes to boat school and he fails it every time. And then he finally gets it, but he still sucks so bad. He causes so many crashes. It's all over the room.
Yeah. So it knocked out the power. It knocked out everything. So I'm winging it. I'm kind of unprepared.
Don't worry about it.
I do know that we have, and I don't even know their full names or any of that, because I don't have any of my information. So, I do know that we have the founder and co-founder of Paravisions Paranormal out of Ohio, which is, I have deep roots. That's where I'm from. That was where I was born, even though I have a Texas accent because I grew up here. But I was born in Ohio. Go Buckeyes, go Red. So, these are some of my boys from up north. So, they'll come on and tell us a little bit about themselves, and we'll get through all this. I had a brand new intro I was going to introduce, new rock that's real kick-ass, head-banging, and had a new DJ drop for our radio station, and none of that got done. It's all sitting here on the computer ready to be uploaded, but that's okay.
Shit happens for a reason, you know?
What happens for a reason. That's right. That's right. But, so they'll be calling in here shortly, and then we'll get this party rocking. As far as things going on in the world, like I said, I just experienced one of them today. You know, you take out two poles and run into a house. You know, that's the way it is down here in Texas. When we do things, we do it big. We're not going to knock over a mailbox. We're going to knock over power lines and run into a house.
Yeah. Well, today I had a pool party with my kids. And stupid things for them. Oh, yeah, I do stupid things for them. I do beauty shop in the water. And I go under, and I come up, and I do weird things with my hair, and they just laugh. I played Shark, and that was my day, you know? It was playing in the sun today, and being with my kids, what it's about, you know? I've been having such a good time. Being off of Facebook and Twitter and just being able to be a mom this summer, it's been really freaking nice, man. No drama. None.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll get a text and say, hey, what did I do to you? Why did you unfriend me from Facebook? And it's like I have to send back, hey, you're still there, dude. I'm just not there, but I'll be back. And, you know, I still love you. But having a good time with my, you know, kids over the summer. And I will be back at it. I'm actually doing some fun stuff this week, Kevin.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. So I told you I found a hospital that has been sitting for quite some time. And I called up the owner and said, hey, what are you doing with that place? And he said he had a team come in about 2.5 years ago and that they came and investigate. This is a great story. It's bullshit, but so anyways, his team came in and, you know, he let them in overnight and they left. They did their investigation. They left. And then all of a sudden he gets like this phone call. I'm not quite sure who it was from. But I guess these people were going through his stuff at the hospital, and they had found, like, a box of patient information, okay? So, like, you know, they reported him as giving out people's information. And he had to, like, you know, let these people come in and investigate that, you know, to – he didn't even know what they were talking about. This hospital's, like, huge. So if when the hospital moved out and they left a box, like, that's on them, not him, you know? And yeah. But there was nothing, like, you know, there wasn't, like, his address or, you know, social security numbers. It was just more, like, patient, like, you know, logging of, like, what was going on with them. And so... you know, he wasn't in any trouble, but then the people that investigated there, they wanted back in, and he was like, hell no, you're not coming back in here. You guys just caused huge problems for me, you know? So the guy was like, kind of like, you know, I don't really like people in the paranormal field. I don't really, you know, think they're good people. And I was like, well, hey, you know, I mean, you no harm. I just went in your place, you know, I'm not going to cause you any problems. But anyway, so I'm going down there this week and he's letting me and my son, Nathan, investigate overnight. And, if I find anything, I'm probably going to create some events in the month of October for the location for me to hold some overnight investigation, because I love that, you know. I love it when people come and they've never been ghost hunting, and you take them in a room, and, like, something happens, and you get to watch that first reaction of their first time, you know. It's like watching, you know, a baby walk for the first time, you know what I mean, that excitement, and so I like that. So we'll see. I'll let you guys know next week how it goes. But I think that one of our guests is on, so I'm going to put them on.
All right.
Okay, here it goes. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who do we have?
this is Lee Allen.
Hi, Lee. How are you? Oh, we got another one. How are you?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jim.
Oh, good, good, good. I had to get to the car to get some power.
Oh, battery dead, hey?
Oh, it was close. I didn't want to take a chance.
There you go.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Who are we speaking with here?
This is Joey.
Oh, hey.
Joey Fox. Yeah.
Joey.
How are you?
Paul.
How are you guys?
Doing
oh
well.
God,
how are
Paul.
You?
Good. What you guys been doing?
Doing our thing.
We've been keeping busy, Jody. How about yourself?
You know, honestly, I took the summer off. I logged off of Facebook, and I have been, like, I've been such a mom this summer, and I am enjoying it 100%. Oh, my God. Like, I haven't done anything, like events or anything, but I start next week back at it. So
well,
I think the next 3 months, are going to be pretty rough for me. So, you know, I just decided I'm going to take the summer off. I'm going to be a mom. I'm going to have fun.
Jody, how long have you been in the paranormal field?
How long have I been in the paranormal field? God, I think going on 7 years now, but, like, nobody knew who I was before Paranormal Challenge. I was, you know, just this little quiet ghost hunter that caused no problems until Paranormal Hot Squad came along, and then shit hit the fan. Yeah, I learned how to stir the pot a little bit, you know, and I'm not done, okay? Shit's going to hit the fan real hard next year.
Well, I guess really what to ask was then, by taking off the summer then, that probably helps you, along with anyone else who's in the paranormal field, you know, to get a break, to take time for family, like we always talk about.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to take yourself out, you know, and go to the charging station and collect your thoughts and, you know. It's like walking outside and getting some fresh air, like vitamin D.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I shut down my team and walked away from the paranormal as far as, you know, doing big investigations and clients and whatnot. And a few of us that are still around, we're just kind of doing small things and kind of just, you know, scaling back. And just doing the radio show and kind of getting a breather, you know. It was just getting conferences and just everything, you know. It's like, man, I got to take a break.
It's overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So have you guys been doing a lot of events?
Actually, we have done some in the spring. Nothing through some months, the past few months.
Yeah.
Been a lot on the plate, you know. I don't know what's going on with, you know, some of the things that's been, you know, handed to us and me, you know, being asked to do things. But we have actually took over the Phoenix Rising Talent Agency, and I'm like, really?
Really?
Randy Kreitzer has left the paranormal. So Patty and I actually have he wanted us to do it, and, you know, I posted out there, hey, to, you know, the clients that we have, and that we rebooted it, and, you know, we're just getting our feet wet, and we're looking forward to helping out others. We're not promoting ourselves or, you know, our paravisions.
You know what? I think that's great, you guys, and I think that you guys will do really, really well at that, because, honest to God, like, I don't think that some people, agencies, like, take the shit serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not, like, actually operating as a business that's making money. I was just telling Kevin that I found this hospital. I don't want to say the location right now, but I found this hospital that's been sitting for 2.5 years. And I called up the owner, and I just said, hey, what's the deal with your hospital? And he said, well, I had two doctors who were going to buy it, and now they're legally fighting each other. So I don't think that they're going to have the money to buy my hospital at this point because they're fighting each other. And so he said, so it's for sale. And I just said, well, while it's sitting, would you be interested in letting me come down, investigate there? And if I find something, would you allow me to have events there? And he said, absolutely. If you can come make money off of my building, I will do anything for you, Jody. And he goes, just to let you know, I own a construction company. So whatever you need built inside the building, I can build it for you if you're making money. And I was like, oh, snap, right? So I'm going.
That is awesome.
Right. So I'm going down this weekend, or this week, towards the end of the week. I'm going to investigate it with my oldest son. And if I find something, I would be totally interested in working with you guys and letting you maybe pick dates and just saying, okay, you know, I want to hold an event here, and you can put your people in there. You know what I mean?
Cool.
And
yeah.
And it's in a good location where there are a lot of ghost hunters in that state. So
Oh, yeah.
It's a good active state, I'll say that. And then I found another hospital that I've left the paranormal for the summer, but I really haven't. You know what I mean? I've been, like, really doing a lot of research on trying to find new locations.
Sure.
And digging more into, like, the history. So I found have you heard of Perryville, Kentucky?
Yep.
Yep, I've heard of it.
You know, when you guys think of the Civil War and you think of the worst battle, you think of Gettysburg, right?
Absolutely. Yep. That's the first one you jump to is Gettysburg. Yeah.
Okay, and it's, like, really the only one that sticks in your head, correct?
True. But you got to think,
okay,
they fought all the way up, you know, so.
Yeah.
In the South, they were fighting all the way up. And so, you know, there's a lot of those battles that aren't really mentioned because it wasn't something real big.
So Perryville is a really interesting one because it literally, the battle lasted 5 hours and over 7,000 men disappeared, killed, or were captured in 5 hours. Over 7,000 people, boys,
that's,
men.
That's huge, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So in that area, they used mansions as field hospitals for a couple days. And, like, the doctors, the surgeons were up for, like, 2 days straight just dealing with the most disgusting stuff they've ever seen in their lives, trying to save these people. And so I found one of the field hospitals. So he told me I could come and investigate anytime I wanted. But, like, so, and, you know, I think an event down there would be really good because, you know, they have, like, where you can come and do tours of the battlefield and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And it really is a great story. And that's a huge part of what we do is the story, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, and that's a good point that you said, you know, that is a big thing that we do in the paranormal is the story and the point. That needs to be brought up probably once a week. You know, it's like, you know, speaking of a battle, the first thing gets up in the morning, they always play the trumpet in the morning, right?
Yeah.
That's something that the paranormal field needs every day is a shake to, like, hey, it's not about you, it's not about your team, it's about the situation and it's about the location. And
yeah,
people forget that all the time.
You know what I think would be, like, a really, really amazing show for the paranormal field? And I actually got asked recently, like, if you could create any paranormal show, what would it be? And what would you be doing? And I said, honest to God, this is what I would be doing. I would be, like, turning into, God, I can't even remember, Extreme Makeovers. You know, where you actually go in to a building and it's like you take, you know, places that are about to be closed down because they're suffering so bad because they can't get up to code. So you go in and you bring in contractors and you get that place up to code and then, like, set up cameras at the place so that they can run their own site and have, like, cameras running live for a donation where people can, give money and help keep the electric or gas on and also get their name out there and get people there at those tours and hearing the story and preserve our history. That would be, like, I think, my ideal show if I could create one.
True.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With, of course, my madness added to it because I have to investigate it and put my psych on it. They aren't going to get away that easy.
Right.
Hey, Jody, you could come up with another show of basically like Extreme Makeover of the Paranormal Field Edition of where you can like straighten out some teams. Like, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to be. Oh, my God. There are some people that are so far up their own wazoo that, my God, they have no time to investigate everyone else because they're worried about everyone else. So maybe run with it. Run with it. Extreme Makeover Paranormal Team Edition.
Yeah.
Dude, you're doing something good with, you know, the money that a show makes. And, when I walk into these locations, my family, like, for generations has owned construction companies. So I watched my family, you know, buy tons of land and then build up 500 houses. And, you know, I watched that stuff because my dad would take me there. Like, we would go there. Like, he'd pick me up from school. We'd go back to the job and drop off stuff or whatever. And I see the homes being built. So I have a – and then my mom was an interior designer. So I just have a love and passion for a home, you know, and respecting the history. And I don't think that as Americans – we do a good job of preserving the historical properties. Like, look at Detroit, you know?
Oh, I know it.
I mean,
yeah.
All that history that has just fallen to shit, you know?
Yep.
It's sad.
True.
We don't take care of the old architecture, you know, unless it's like some state building and then they're going to dump millions into it.
Absolutely.
So I think a show like that, you know, you're walking away going, you know, I did something good for the building, and I also left them with a business that hopefully it can help, you know, get them out there, get their name out there, and get their locals supporting it more. Because it's just
right.
Us, you know, it's our field that helps these places out, and they, you know, It's hard for some of them.
Right.
Now, I can agree. I think
you guys,
most recently in our area, we have the Procter & Gamble house that was basically going back and forth between the city and tearing it down. And you're talking some serious history there. Well, ultimately, the city won. The city won. So right there, the history like you talk about is gone. And Procter
&
Gamble
is
gone. You
can't just rip that down.
Exactly.
You know?
It took about a 2 or 3 year battle.
Yeah. No, I heard it, St. Albans, I think, is having problems as well.
Yeah.
You heard of that place?
What was the name of it again?
St. Albans or something. It's like in Virginia.
Oh, okay. It's in bad shape, and they're needing, you said,
well,
business.
No, I think they don't have certain things up to code, can't really afford it, have been, I believe, threatened to be shut down and torn down. And it's like,
well, see, that's
a
good thing for me in the state of Ohio is I do inspections on fire stuff. So, you know, if there's a cool location that I can help with, you know, you like there is a local town here that we do a lot of ghost walks for, and it's called Waynesville, Ohio. And, you know, the Historical Society is on a tight budget, so, you know, they want to do so much to their buildings, and we go in and do a ghost walk. It's like a ghost walk / dinner, and they come in, and we teach them a little bit of how we investigate on our side, you know, and give them some terms, technology, you know, stuff they watch on TV, because they've actually never really met a real ghost hunter. And the people that come into the thing, we usually get about 30 people. And, you know, the Historical Society gets the money. It all goes to their proceeds. And we actually helped put windows in this museum that used to be a Quaker's retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And they call us, and we do it twice a year, and around Halloween and the summertime before it gets too hot. And I recommend everybody doing that. If you could, you know, if you're a team that loves the history and loves helping
yeah.
somebody, because, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. And, the thing is, when we're done, they get to investigate with us that night. So they get to use some of the equipment that they've seen on TV, and it's like, oh, my God, this is so cool. And, you know, you get a lot of parents that bring in their older teenagers that love that stuff. And, you know, we just walk them around and say, here, you can hold it. You do it. You know what
yeah.
you're doing with it, so let's see what you can do. And
yeah.
they just love that. And that's what I recommend everybody to do, is reach out. Because
yeah.
it's not about us. It's not about us. It's not, you know, because in my eyes, the paranormal, we're all on one team. And just because
no,
we group together to investigate, we actually should be one team.
Yeah.
Yes, we should.
Now,
that is so true.
I was going to ask you guys, what part of Ohio are you guys in? Because, yes, I have a Texas accent, but my family, all my relatives, everybody I have is from Ohio. I was actually born in Ohio and lived there for a while. So,
well, we're in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. That's what I'm
yeah.
talking about. Go Reds.
Yeah, there you go. They're playing a doubleheader tonight.
Yes,
yeah,
they are.
Yep.
I was actually born in Wilmington, Ohio, outside of Cincinnati, and I lived
yeah,
in.
I know exactly where
yeah.
you are.
Yeah, and I lived in Athens, Ohio. And
that
you want to talk about a haunted town? Athens is a haunted town.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We actually another Wilmington, Lebanon, Ohio.
Yeah.
Where the Golden Lamb is, like 13 to 15, I'm not right on the number, presidents have visited the Lamb. It's, it's a hotel. And
mm-hmm.
We actually was there last night for dinner. And, I mean, it's a beautiful place. And, just going in these little towns, and a lot of people... And here's something that I want to throw out there for all paranormal teams that's just starting or that's been out for a while and they're not understanding why they're not getting any really cool places to investigate. If they go do cold, just go do cold cases, just go knocking on doors and just introduce them. Make sure you wear proper attire. Don't go to someone's door in camouflage pants and a T-shirt that says, "My anger management pisses me off." don't go in there, crazy, and go in there with respect, professionalism,
yeah.
and you will be shocked to watch somebody will sit down and talk to you about, and then that's the first thing to do is go in and make a friend. Like these antique stores, they're usually these old warehouses. Go in and make a friend, and then say, well, I have a research team. We would love to come in and help you out. The techniques that you have to do in the conversation by talking to the person. You're going to know. You're going to read signals. And that is the best advice I can give any team out there, is to go in there, be professional, because that's how you're going to get them. Because, when I first started doing
yeah.
this in 1998, that's what I did. I went around,
yeah.
And I still do. When I get to invest, just like this past few weeks, I've been, hitting the road and shooting emails to people that I know, and just to get us into some really cool places. And it's so hard for another team, when you go out, because I like to have second opinions as our team, That's what
yeah.
everybody should do, but there's so many people with big egos that's like, well, I investigated so-and-so, and this is my location. Well, it's not really your location.
There might be your stomping ground where you've been the most, but anybody can go there.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And that is exactly what a paranormal team should do. They should say, hey, got this place that we investigate, and we would love to have your opinion. We've already spoke to the curator or the owner or whoever, and would love to have your team come in. And let's compare notes when you're done. Let's don't share any information. Let's just compare notes when it's all done. And that right there, if we could all do that, could you imagine this field? I know that's like a leave it to Beaver Cleaver field, but it'll never happen. But we can dream.
It really won't. I'm sorry, but you know what? Like, I've been through so much because of this paranormal field. Like, I've had more people call me a whore. I've had more people threaten to destroy my life. And to the point where I'm such a bitch, as soon as I see the first sign of an asshole, I'm straight up like, fuck you and fuck off. You know, it's like, and I mean it. And I mean it, and I don't care who the fuck you are. You could be Zach Bagans. If you fuck with me, I'll send your ass some shit and be like, hey, motherfucker. You know what? Call your dog, dog, dickhead.
Hey,
yeah,
Jerry,
it's just, you
all,
know.
I think all you would need to do is touch his hair.
Who, mine, Jim?
No, Zach Bagans.
I was going to say, I'm the same way. You touch my hair, man.
By the way, I love Zach. I respect him. But I was just using him as, like,
using him as an example. It does, you know, it doesn't. You know, and that's the thing. I agree. I mean, I think the ones that are out there, you know, and I have some.
Yeah.
I've got one that, you know, follows me, and I feel that, okay, if you're taking time out of your day, because, you know, my team, we all work full-time jobs. This isn't something we're getting paid to do. It's just a hobby that we love to help people. We love doing our radio show. We love helping everybody. If you got to take time out of your busy day to stop and focus on me and what my team is doing and then turn around and say that we're frauds and fakes, buddy, show me what in the hell is your problem?
Yeah.
And then you go do research on that person, and then they don't post anything because they don't want the attacks. They don't want to be bit by the sharks. And they stay behind everybody's shadow. But as soon as you turn your back, they like to talk and stab you. Really? Back off, man. Because you don't belong
Can
in
I
the
tell
paranormal.
You that, like, over the summer, I don't know, like 2 months ago, I started getting all kinds of phone calls from all different men in the paranormal field wanting me to know that, Jody, I want you to look at everybody that you do events with. Every single one of them, and I'm not joking when I say this, hates you.
What?
And it's like, wow, that's really great to hear. Thank you. I mean, I heard it from about 4 different guys. You know, it's like, you know, that doesn't make me feel very safe, okay?
No,
like, as a woman that goes to these events, I don't use them to have sex with people and get ahead or have sex with people and hook up. I go to these events because I love what I'm doing, and I want to meet people that are coming to the event, and I would like to be friends with the people in the event, but clearly they have nothing but shit talk to say about me. And it doesn't make me feel safe as a person to be in their presence. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I've had people come up to me at events telling me I'm evil, cornering me and do.
You know, the thing is, when you do events, you can, as soon as you go in as a paranormal investigator and you've been in the field, you know, it's like, as a paranormal investigator, I feel that when we hear an audio clip, we can hear an EVP out of that clearer than a normal person on the street, you know, because we're already synced to hear what we're supposed to be hearing. And it's like walking into an event, and it's happened to me, and I've told the team that, don't you feel the negative energy in this place? It saddens me. You know, it's constantly, you got to go outside and get fresh air.
every hour
yep.
because it's draining you. And I
yeah.
don't like to be in those events.
Yeah.
It's like sick to my stomach. It's like, wow. You know, you can feel it, and you feel like it's a negative attachment that has grabbed
yeah.
onto you through the spine, and it just makes you ticked off towards everybody that's with you. And it's just like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm feeding these people. I don't want to feed these people. I want to keep a smile on. I want to show them that what they say I can give two flying shits about. Because they're no better than me. They're not the king of the paranormal or the queen of the paranormal. They don't sign a paycheck with their name on it and that's gave to me like I'm working. So who the hell
right.
are they to judge?
Sometimes I purposely do shit to piss them off. I don't know if you heard, I showed up at Scarefest, and, you know, since everybody calls me a whore, I decided to set the record straight, and I had Vin from Dark Side Inc. make me up a pair of virgin shirts, and I wore no bra. I had some hard nipples, and then I brought a girlfriend. I brought a girlfriend and said she was my girlfriend. And
oh,
she cut people off. She had a pair of whore shirt on.
Oh,
dude, I lost like 100 friends on Facebook that day.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
No, over a shirt and hard nipples.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
how
that's the way it is in this film.
That's how I deal with it.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Well, I that's another reason why I got out, because of the cutthroat people. I found out when the shit gets bad, you find out who your true friends are, and
oh, yeah.
there's
yeah.
a lot of posers out there, and they
oh, yeah.
you think they're your friend, and then when the shit goes bad, they don't want anything to do with you. So
nope.
I found out real quick who my friends are in the paranormal and who are not. And, you know, I've had a lot of discussions with Jody on this. And the cool thing about kind of taming it down as far as all the outside distractions and the few of us focusing on us is we're going to continue to do the paranormal on a smaller scale, but we're going to do experiments. And we're going to test a lot of theories that us as investigators, all of us, we might say during an investigation, but we don't really have any backing on it because it's been either passed down from other teams to us or we've seen it on television or whatever it might be. You know, just like I always throw out the example, you know, you tell somebody, oh, there's a temperature drop. It dropped 15 degrees, cold spot. And now, you know, after you debunk and there's nothing causing it, you know, there's something really going on in the environment to cause that, you naturally assume as an investigator, you go, well, temperature's dropping, so a spirit must be drawing the energy out of the room in order to manifest or communicate with us. Well,
yep.
how do we know what's really going on? We say things a lot of times as investigators, but we really don't have any backbone to it. And that's why I'm going to sit back while everybody else, you know, you got the teams that are trying to focus on what they're really doing, and you got other people out there, like you said earlier, that spend more time bashing and trashing others and instead of investigating and researching like they should be doing. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit back and I'm going to collect as much data as I can, and I'm going to share it with my friends in the field, the ones that are really in it for the right reasons, and share all this stuff and hopefully help them help others. Because the bottom line is, you know, that's what a lot of teams don't realize. If I share information with you guys and that in turn is some valid stuff that you guys can use when you go
Absolutely.
In and help a client, then in the long run, I'm still helping a client. It's just I pass the information on to you, and you're using it to help a client. And that's what people don't realize. The bottom line is to help people, to understand
exactly.
the paranormal, and at the same time, help them.
There you go.
Yeah,
you know,
a part of this, you know, we all also do it because we love it. And we get obsessed. I'm sorry. It does become an obsession for us. Like, you know, you just, like, you know, I'm not going to lie. Okay, with, like, paranormal, I've kind of reached, like, a wall where I just hit it. And I just feel like everything that we're doing is the same old, okay? And, you know, so, you know, it's like, you know, at some point I will start doing some research to find new stuff for me. But I've been getting into ufology for like the last year and a half, pretty strong. And I've been going steady to these MUFON meetings. Have you guys ever tried that in your area?
No, but there's always one down in Cincinnati.
Well,
Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati.
It's been really, really rewarding, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Like, last week I had a meeting, and there was a speaker, an author, and he was loaded with information about, like, basically conspiracy theories of the government with all of the, you know, UFO cover-ups and stories, and I learned so much that I didn't know. I mean, like, I got home and I opened Windows on everything they talked about on my iPad, and I got home and I had so much research I had to go through, and it's like, I love it. Oh my God, you know, it's like so nice to be learning something new, and I feel like, you know, with the paranormal, I kind of hit the wall, but that's still my number one passion. I love being a field investigator. I love being at the location and looking at that building and inviting any experience that happens, you know, whether it be good or bad, and be prepared for it, you know, hopefully. But I love, you know, I'll never give that up, you know.
True.
So
I mean, because, you know, if you're doing, you know, stepping foot in other fields, it may help you, just like it goes back to, you know, we're helping each other with information. It may help you with something that you're, you know, you're having a problem with in the paranormal, and you can get around it. Because I feel that, you know, sometimes we all hit walls.
I kind of find it really strange that, like, okay, this is kind of why I kind of started researching ufology. Because as paranormal investigators, we don't have an explanation for shadow people. We still don't know what they are. And in a lot of abductee cases, people say, I woke up and there was a shadow person in my room. And, you know, then they were, like, abducted. But they, you know, they'll, like, either specifically say it was a shadow person or it was a gray or a reptile, okay? So that whole shadow person kind of, like, you know, it's in the paranormal, but then you hear about it a lot with abductee cases. So where's that link? And so that's kind of why I, you know, really started researching ufology. But then once I really recommend that, even as like agents for you guys, you know, that's just going to expand your company to another clientele, you know, of people at those meetings. And, you know, maybe the owner, they do events, and you can incorporate them with the paranormal events, and people will find that fascinating, and you could have them speak about that, you know. You know.
At least, didn't we have a guest on once before that tried to find or figure out a correlation between aliens and or UFOs and or abductions along with paranormal, and somehow they all were intertwined. So, Jody,
I think
you are onto something. I think you are onto something
and
about the grays.
You know,
the shadows,
and it's all about it all, this is what I'm learning also from ufology, is everything is based around ESP. So, there are cases where, there are actual, like, the government, okay, so they're saying, like, the government in the 1930s actually perfected time travel, and that we've been using that to hide files. You know, that's how we won the Cold War. And also there was another program where they took a certain amount of people, and they had them moving spaceships with their mind. And then, like, you hear how when people are abducted, they don't actually see their mouths move. They're not speaking to them. They're getting, they're receiving messages through their head.
Exactly, yeah.
And everything could, you know, be based around ESP. So then it gives me the theory of, well, fuck, could it be all of us creating this shit? You know, and then there are some spirits and that stuff that still exists, but could we be part of the problem, you know?
Lee, hey, Lee, listen to her. She, remember what we talked about going on investigations, where we think sometimes we are bringing something in that's contaminating a site, a house, a home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why is nobody doing the Philip experiment? Why is nobody doing that? Why isn't somebody, you guys know about that,
I actually. The Philip experiment?
Yeah. Patrick always talks about it in his talk.
Oh, Patrick always talks about that. Yeah. Yeah, you know,
that
I feel that sometimes.
Show.
I
that
feel
would be
that
a great
some
show.
Places. What's that?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
I was
going
to say, I just feel that some places do that to get people to come to their location.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, I think we have one of those, didn't we, Lee?
I think if you think about that, you know, it, when you go to a haunted location, because it's a little bit different when you go to a residential, because you're walking into the unknown, you don't know what the hell's going on there. But in a haunted location that all these paranormal teams go to, they already assume and know and see evidence from other people that's been there or talk to people that's been there, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's this, there's that, you know. So in your mind as human beings, you already know that it's haunted, right, in your mind.
Yep.
So how much are we actually putting into it? I got a buddy of mine that's actually he's really high in the paranormal, and he's been hooking up his team instead of studying the spirits and studying the ghosts, he's studying the human element in a location. What happens to our body, our heart rate, everything that's going on physically, what happens when paranormal activity occurs? What is our body doing? So he's trying to scientifically study the human element, you know, because how many times you guys heard about, you know, poltergeist
activities? We don't work enough doctors that, you know, like seriously, we're divided. The professors of parapsychology, like we interviewed one night, and we were asking him questions like, do you go to haunted locations? Do you take, like, you know, students to haunted locations? No. We just learn about it. And it's like, but don't you think that you should be, like, doing that at a haunted location? You know what I mean? And like, hooking these kids up, you know, the students up to machines and, like, monitoring their bodies. You know, having, like, a sleep course where, you know, if there's girls that are claiming to have, you know, like, cases with incubus. Oh, my God. Here in St. Louis, in the last year, actually, I've had four girls come to me and tell me that, you know, they've been with incubuses since they were little. And pretty much I came to the conclusion that all of them are batshit crazy. And, you know, it's like that, but that needs to be studied because it's like, it's, you know, then that goes into sleep paralysis and it goes into multiple personalities and, you know, the mind really creating this sensation for them. You know what I mean?
True.
And it goes into the freaking mental part of things. And I think mentally, but I do also believe that the other side can come through and come back to us. And I do, in some ways, believe that there are certain people that when they pass away, they don't leave. And it could be because of a tragedy, you know, that keeps them there waiting or repeating the same thing over and over. So, you know, I do still believe in ghosts, but I think that, you know, just as one, we're alone because we're divided.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
True. But Jody, like I've always brought up to our team, though, if something is coming back to talk to us, why do they always have to say, hey, or hi? Give me some specifics. Give me something I can work with to let someone know you're okay. Don't say hi. You're wasting your breath. Tell us something meaningful that we can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have...
Well, you know, I don't think enough investigators are asking those questions. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the paranormal field, it's like stuck in this thing. And it's like they're not like stepping out of that box, trying other things, experimenting with other things. You guys, that's why I kind of go batshit crazy. Because I'm testing the waters because no other woman has done that. No more than has gone into a place that, where a pedophile's at and said, hey, motherfucker, you want a blowjob? You know, or am I too old for you? You know? And then, like, literally, you guys, I have gotten my ghost box to say, after that, within 10 minutes, I got the sports, the blowjob on AM radio, okay?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we got to push some buttons and do things that people aren't going to like, in my opinion, to get a breakthrough. I mean, every person that you know that has had a breakthrough in science, they were considered, like, you know, total rejects, you know, and what they were doing, everybody was telling them, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. You know, and then boom, like they did it, they mastered it, and they got it. And then everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, like you're the most intelligent man alive, you know. Like, why? Because I thought outside of the box that you guys are sitting in and criticizing everybody for thinking different.
Now,
To
go on what you guys were talking about just a minute ago about haze and highs and all that, do you guys have anybody on your team that's sensitive or psychic or can communicate with the other side?
Yeah, me. I'm sensitive. Not the best, but Jim will tell you that, you know, I go in and I pick up things that weren't told to us, you know. And, you know, at first I'll brush it off, like, nah, you know, then all of a sudden it keeps on coming back to me, and thanks to my visit to Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio there. When was that, Jim, 2010 when we went?
It was about two days ago, 2010-ish.
Yeah, it opened up there. And this poor guy... Yeah, this poor inmate, I mean, he kept on coming to me, and I've never been to that location before, but I flew through that prison. Like, I'd been there before. I mean, I was seeing, like, what it would look like back in the 50s. I was describing the wallpaper. I was describing pictures that I was seeing along the wall hallway. And then there was that guy at the end of the hallway. I described his inmate number, Scott Sokol, that runs the Mansfield Reformatory. We got with him. He got back with me about an hour and a half later. Jim videoed this part.
Oh, yeah.
I described a guy that was there for 3 years and from 55 to 58. And he was not one of the major guys that everybody goes to that prison and tries to pick up.
Right.
And he just basically wanted me to hear his story. And I think that after I heard his story, that it was okay for him to go. That he just wanted to show me what they did to him, which was not fair, was not justice. And I put it together. I mean, I showed, you know, I knew exactly. He didn't have to tell me nothing. I knew exactly what the sweat box was. I knew why they used the sweat box.
Scott Zuckel was able to verify everything for Lee, which just made him it more valid for the whole team, really.
When we go into, you know, residentials or wherever, I try not to, I don't want to hear, you know, the situation. And sometimes, you know, I'll tell the team, we'll step away, and I'll say, well, you know what? This family's keeping something away from us that they don't want us to know. And then I'll bring that out. Mm-hmm. If it's something like the husband and wife are constantly fighting because their teenage daughter, their teenage son, but they're covering up with another story and they want to, you know, put it on as it's paranormal. I can tell. I pick up through people's emotions. I can pick up through their energy just from by standing by them. Like, this has nothing to do with paranormal. They just want someone to come in and listen to their story. And I feel that as a paranormal investigator, what are we, about 90% time we're counselors for these people?
We're
in the story.
What's interesting about that, I have some people on my team, and I'm even kind of developing. I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone, and it was just weird. It was just weird. I said, are you wearing a blue shirt? And they're like, oh, my God, how the hell do you know that? I said, I don't know. I just got the color blue in my head. And I did it a couple more times, and they were like, how in the hell are you doing that? And I said, hell, I don't know. I'm guessing. It feels like I'm guessing, but I'm just going with what I'm, you know, feeling. And I was like, damn, how in the hell is I've been doing this, you know? It's like I'm starting to open up a little bit.
Yeah,
but
I do. And don't hide anything. Don't close it up. Just keep on going with it.
Now,
you may get wrong answers that may not go with who you're talking to, but somewhere in your day, you're going to see whatever's coming to you, or someone's going to call you and tell you about whatever you're thinking of. Because that is something that's drove me nuts for the past year, is I'll pick up things that doesn't mean nothing to no one, and then I can get on Facebook sometime, and I'll see. I'm like, holy shit.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, and you know what's real interesting, because I have a couple, and I've worked with people that can actually hear the spirits talk to them, right, and they can actually have a conversation with them. And what's interesting is, you know, you go through the basic information with them, whatnot. They might tell you a story or tell them about themselves. But if you change what you're saying, right, and you ask them, so what kind of rules do you live by on that side over there, right? You start asking them some of those questions that we all want to know, right?
Sure.
And they'll start divulging a little bit. We've gotten bits and pieces from different spirits because, you know, that's one thing that I wish more teams would do is try to find it, see if you can get these spirits to tell you things that's going on over there, right?
And there you go. And that's something, too, why you're on that subject. You know, we only hear one side of the story when we go in and hear the interviewing from the client, right? And what do we usually do? When they tell us, hey, you know, if you guys came to my house and say, hey, I got this evil bastard that won't leave my family alone. So in your head, you're there to protect me, and you're going to go in with that attitude, right?
Yeah.
Instead of us stopping and not doing that and just talking like that spirit is right there in front of us, and we want to treat them like we want them to be treated, I think things would be totally different if we could all just take a deep breath, step away, and say, okay, sorry that happened to you, but I'm not going to start our investigation with that kind of attitude, because you guys have been given and feeding that attitude to whatever's here. So we're going to step back. We're going to make a friend, get them to come out. Like, you know, it's like yelling at a dog. you tell a dog to stop and move, it's going to run and hide. And then it's going to hide because they're telling the story to you as a new person in the house, and then they're still going to hide because you're still going to them just like their owners are. So it's just like, stop, you know, and let's take a break.
Well, you know, one thing that I'll share with you guys that we've discovered is when you start asking them stuff, especially if you're just talking to, you know, a spirit, a human spirit, you know, there's no evil intent or whatnot, and you got them having a good conversation with you psychically, and we're getting stuff through Ghost Box too, but you start asking them those questions like, so how's it set up over there? Is people separated, you know, according to this, according to that? Is God and his archangels? And you start asking just different questions over there. Do people reincarnate? They'll start giving you little bits and pieces, but when they really start to try to divulge something, it's like somebody, higher power, snaps their finger and that spirit goes and disappears.
Yeah, it goes away,
it's like
right?
Somebody controls how much they divulge to you. And we found that really interesting when we gauge our questions. They'll start to tell you something, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're gone. And
that's
the end of the conversation.
We'll try that, and we'll give you, you know, we'll give you feedback of how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but when you guys go on to investigations, we try not to talk as we come in and set up our equipment, because we feel that sometimes, you know, they're very intelligent, so they're going to run. They're not wanting to be around if they're back from the 1800s or early 1900s, and we got this new piece of equipment. They don't know if that's going to hurt them, so they're going to hide. So what we do is, you know, we've been doing it off soil, getting everything ready to rock and roll, and just go in and set it up, prop it up, and go. So that. They're standing there going, oh, my God, what do I do? What do I do? Who's this? What's going on, you know? And but sometimes that works because we'll go in with our voice recorders on, our camcorders running, and we'll start snapping pictures, and we'll hear things through the audio. You can hear, like, footsteps, people running away, like, oh, shit. You know, they're not used to that. And it's fascinating, you know, just like your technique there. I'm going to try that at our next investigation is to start talking to them about, like, interviewing the spirit.
Yeah, that's what we did. You know, we'll do the normal stuff, but if they feel comfortable talking, right, and you get them in that conversation and they're confident in talking to you, then you start asking them questions. The reason I say that, a couple years ago, my girlfriend of 3 years, she passed away. And about a week later after her passing, a buddy of mine that can connect to the spirit world, he came over to my house for something. And we're sitting there, and, of course, I've been around him so much, I know when something's about to happen, you know, spiritually. And he goes, a female just walked in. And, of course, he never met my girlfriend and knew anything about her. He starts describing her, and I'm like, oh, here she is. And she started giving, and what's funny is she always gave me shit when I go on investigations. When I talk to her, when I get back, she would laugh and say, hi, did you find any ghosts?
Yeah.
Right? And now here is my girlfriend in spirit form in my house, right? We're talking to somebody that can talk to her. And I knew she would start doing some of this. She started divulging things over there. The first thing she did after the initial saying what she needed to say to me, then she went into a conversation of, she held up a Bible and she said, showed it to him, and she said, you see this? This was created for man. It was created for you guys on that side. This Bible doesn't work over here. We have a different set of rules set up, completely different from this Bible.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, that's interesting. And then she went into saying that she met an individual over there that has died twice.
Wow.
Meaning has lived multiple lives, reincarnation.
Reincarnated.
And she said, I said, well, ask her
has she seen God or Jesus or the archangel? She goes, no, because they're in their own section over here. They got their section and everybody else has theirs, right? And then she said, angels do walk on earth as human beings. They come to earth as human beings, and that kind of validifies when people say that they ran out of gas in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden somebody just shows up out of the blue. They don't know where the hell they came from, and they give them gas. And they turn around to thank them, and they're gone, right? Those kind of angelic-type experiences that people have, she validated that. And I was just like, wow, that's crazy. And then she was going to go into something else, and whoop, she was gone. It's like she had said too much.
Okay, well, you know what? Since you brought up that point, and this is a serious question, because I don't want to say that I feel like I'm being tested, but at the same time, I don't know whether I'm being bullshitted too, but every time I pass by either a homeless person or somebody standing on the corner with a sign, I feel compelled to give them money, but at the same time, I feel like I'm being ripped off because it's happened so many times.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I hate the thought of I'm being tested and I'm not giving, I don't know, I'm just not giving to the right people. I don't think that even makes any sense.
Yeah. So that's where my whole thought process when it comes to, you know, I still, especially if it was a client, yeah, you have to go through the basic stuff, this, that, and other. But if you go to a haunted location, I look at it as a different thing. This is an opportunity to try things, like Jody said, try things and do different things that you don't normally do. And so that's why we would start asking them more spiritual-type questions just about what it's like in the afterlife. What is going on over there, right? Who's pulling the strings? Who's doing what? Those kind of things. What kind of knowledge do you have? You know, I wish one of them would tell me how they move objects. That would be awesome. Yeah, that will be something I can't share with everybody, and they go, oh, you're a whack job. How can you prove that? Blah, 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 blah. But for me, if I can get that kind of stuff, that's fine with me. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I used to always ask a question, you know, like, are there parameters that you can't tell us? Is there something you're not allowed to tell us? And that would just be my simple mm-hmm. general question.
Yeah, because what if they could, you know, it freaked us out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. That is a good point. You know, would that be too much for a human being, paranormal investigator or not, to handle?
Right, exactly. And there's some things that they're not allowed to tell us because we're not allowed to know till we get to that side. We've found that out, too. A couple spirits have said that to us. So that's why I always kind of try to push the buttons a little bit with them. If the spirit is comfortable communicating, I'll open up that kind of communication, you know, later in the conversation. But we try to get some bits and pieces from them so that we on this side can understand a little bit more so that we know what we're doing when we're trying to help a family and trying to deal with this spirit, you know. And that to me is the best knowledge to have. Yeah, it's not something you can post on Facebook, YouTube, and everybody goes, wow.
Exactly.
That's some crazy evidence. No, it's all about knowledge. Whatever we can do as investigators to better ourselves in order to help people and for us as individuals to understand the paranormal as a whole.
True.
Which is important. Understand.
If we get so we can get everybody to agree, you know?
Yeah.
Not a curious,
yeah.
You guys. Like, what do you guys have coming up for Phoenix Rising? Do you guys have, stuff planned? Or are you just in agency?
Right now, there's nothing planned right now. Right now we're just, you know, getting our feet wet with trying to get people on shows. So we'll be shooting you guys some emails to have some people on the show. Just to, you know, get them out there a little bit. It's something that, you know, a lot of these agencies I don't think do because it's all about themselves instead of their clients.
Uh-huh.
So I want to, you know, I just want to, because, you know, as taking this over, I don't promote Paravisions. I don't promote Jim and Patrick. You know, Jim does all my IT stuff, my pictures and things like that. But it's not about us. It's about them. And if I can give anything back to them, they're gonna send me an email and they're gonna say thank you, because that's more than anybody has done, you know. And then reaching out to the events that's going on, and getting them out there. I mean, we've got some, you know, Bigfoot people involved, paranormal mediums. So yeah, I mean, there's a mixture of what's going on in the scenes, and you know, I just want to keep it up for Brandon. Do our best at it, and I'm not going to let it down, you know, doing that. And then, you know, that's on my plate. And then, you know, becoming the executive producer for Z-Talk Radio, where our show's on. That's something big, you know. My plate's getting full, because here soon we're going to be doing ZTV on Z-Talk Radio. And I'll be running that, putting all the shows on there. So it's going to be up and running in probably by fall. And then, you know, helping Brandon Kreitzer out, too. He came to me and says, hey, Lee, I want you to run the Past Family. And I'm like, are you serious? I was like, dude, how am I supposed to do all my other stuff, you know? But, you know, I'm helping. And so, you know, we're staying busy. We got a lot. And it's just doing it right, not just jumping the gun and saying, okay, I'm going to, Phoenix is here, we're going to bust out and do a big event, and then it fell, and we're on our nose, you know. I don't want to do that. I just want to get everybody out there through different radio shows and whatever's going on, and then somebody start knowing who we are. And then when somebody says, hey, I'd love to get Phoenix to have you, you know, to do an event with you guys, that's, you know, talking to Brandon a little bit, that's some of the things that we're going to do slowly, is, you know, so just playing it by ear.
Yeah.
You know, I would suggest the most important thing that you do with each client is find out where is your stomping ground, you know, because you're going to be able to get them in there and book events for them there. And let them get their feet wet and, you know, build up that. And then when you get some money coming through, then you, you know, you know, then they can, like, do bigger events, you know, out of state or whatever. But, you know,
we've got a few on the Parafest. We got a few in there already. So, you know, that's awesome.
Good.
Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Hmm?
I was like, what were you going to say? I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, no.
If anything,
I was going to add to that. You know, we teams that were talent agencies that we were with, you know, if you know where your people that are on your team in their back door or backyard is, you know, those are events that they need to go to. And that was, unfortunately, you know, something that happened to us. We had an event close that we could have gone to, yet our agency didn't ask us, much less invite us to go to it.
I know they were having people from the West Coast attend this, which was right in our neck of the woods, you know, and I'm like, really? So as Paravisions, we all agreed that we walked away from all the talent agencies. The only one that we have, it's really not a talent agency, it's called Aspire Communication with Travis Short. He does branding and all that stuff for people, not just paranormal, but for a lot of people. And he took that under his wing, and so we're, you know, we just finished writing a book called Looking Into the Unknown. It's more of a biography of who we are as a team. And right now it's being proofread. And so it's in the process of going to its next step. And that's what he's more of, is just to get the book out there and to get us known for our book. So, we just stepped away from all the little, you know, crazy stuff. And it's time for us to give back to people that's in the field, and, you know, and that's what we're doing, is taking this Phoenix thing. You know, it is a Phoenix rising. It is something new. It's lifting out of the ashes, and that's us. And we're just going to make it happen. We're just going to have fun and, you know,
what does Chris Booth say all the time? Rock and roll, man. So that's what we're doing. We're just going to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What you got?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I hope, you know, just like my friend, and you guys know him, Kevin Bryan from Fort Worth Paranormal, he's taking a break from the paranormal right now. He's on hiatus for the moment. But hopefully everybody will get a new flame going and get back in it. And
Well, under radar here, Evan Bryan and Justin Eric, they are with Phoenix Rising.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, I took them on. It's really incognito, you know, who we've got on there. But, you know, we've got, you know, Fort Worth Paranormal Boys. I'll give you a list of who we got. We got Jody Cook. He just signed on.
Nice.
He's getting ready to do his own TV show for Bigfoot. He's very excited.
Very nice.
We've got another guy in the Bigfoot named Glenn Atkins, which is from the northern part of Ohio. And he's been in it just as long as Jody. We have Deb and Nick Lance, our mediums.
Yep.
We have Rick Hayes, a good friend of ours.
Wonderful person. All of these people are wonderful. I'm liking your team
so far. Got Scotty Rorick. Scotty Rorick's with us. Mm-hmm. We have, her name's Kathy Merwall. She is a medium that's just coming out. Deb introduced us to her, and we got her in the Parafest.
A gem?
Jen DeVillier, she is a author and medium.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have, we have Rosalind Baum. Trying to think, Jim, who else do we have?
I'm trying to go through the pictures in my head, and I think you named them all. There might be one or two we're missing.
Yeah, one or two that I missed, I know, and they're probably listening.
Yes.
But if I missed you, I'm sorry, you know, but there's about 12. 12 or 13. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, we're just, you know, we're going to stay low and see where that gets. And down the road, you know, if it does take off, this is what God called us to do. Wow, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, we'll go with it. You know, get a few things under our belts to make people know who we are as a team and individuals, and then that helps the agency. Brandon had it at Phoenix Rising Production / Talent Agency, but we took the production out. We're just doing the talent agency part. And just go with it as it goes down the road. You know, that's pretty much all we can do. I'm reaching out right now to all radio shows for everybody to, you know, to be on some shows, different kinds of shows. And go for
Yeah,
there.
Well, let us know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you guys have wonderful people. So,
if you notice,
that's
the group
really
that we have, I stayed away from. We stay away from the drama, the paradrama. We don't want it.
Yeah.
No room for that. We don't want it.
ain't nobody got time for that.
What's that, Jim?
You know, I can't run fast enough from it, but that shit just circles me. People just come along, like people that I don't even know, and they're like threatening to destroy me. And it's like, please fucking do it and put me out of my misery so I can go on with my day, asshole. You know?
I've told ours too, the same thing. You know, so if you're going to do it now, get it over with so I can blink and move on.
Yep, right? Or here, let me go make a video and I'll release it, you know? What is it I'm doing?
Exactly. Hey, here,
I'll
you want me to help you, I'll get with the local
you.
News.
Hey, Lee, if any of those people are up in Ohio, I'll bring all Texas up there to whoop some ass because you don't mess with my Ohio boy.
The person is in Ohio, and, you know, you can do Texas style up here on them. That'd be fine.
Oh, I will, because you don't mess with people in Ohio. That's my roots right there.
Oh, Well, you know, even Kevin Bryan said the same thing for us. You know, he says nobody messes with our boys and gal up in Ohio, so we'll have to do some ghost hunting Texas style on your ass. You know, and,
and bring the barbecue sauce, baby. Bring the barbecue sauce.
That's right. Bring the barbecue sauce, baby.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Yeah, I do want to plug in some things if you guys don't mind. Our website is www.paravisions. It's paravisions.com. Also, we have a Facebook page. Trying to get it out there as well. It's Paravisions Paranormal. Also, you know, you can look up Jim Wilson, Lee Allen, Patrick DeHart, Patty Allen. That's the team. Our show on Z-Talk is us four plus one. We have Deb Lance. We have five hosts on Z-Talk looking into the unknown on Thursday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. The Phoenix Rising, check that page out. Check out the people on there. Since you guys are hosts of shows, let me know if you guys, you know, want to pull whoever, maybe, you know, it'd be a cool topic for one of those people to have on your show. I recommend everybody to do that.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah.
How about our affiliates page?
Or what is it?
The affiliates page on our Paravision page.
Yes. Here's another thing that we're doing big time. It's called Paranormal Affiliation. It's affiliates page on the website of Paravisions, where it's people that, professional people that we deal with that's out of the drama. We put you on there, a picture. They click on your picture. It shoots a link to your website or your Facebook or however you get people get a hold of you. We put that out there for people, so we're giving back. So it's like, you know, we pay for our
almost
website,
like,
and we're giving you guys what's
exactly
that?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we're
almost
giving
like a
free advertisement.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we're giving,
great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jody, go to the Paravision page along the top, click on affiliate.
I will. I'm not going to log back in.
This is a regular Paravisions.com. This is not Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Paravisions.
You know what? When I get back on Facebook, I'll send you guys a message and.
Okay.
You can direct me there because I'll forget it. And
sure, absolutely.
And I'll totally send my website in, and I'll also spread the word on my page because that is a really great idea. And,
yeah, because a lot of people aren't doing that, and it's like if we give back to the community with free advertising on our website. You know, and our website isn't a cheap website. I mean, I pay good money for that website. And it's really nice. And actually, Derek Whitesky Cloud from Canada actually made me a really cool logo for it, which has got Bigfoot, Crypt, UFO. You know, it's got all that. It's paranormal. It's everybody that's involved. And where I'm getting ready to put up another one, Stan Romanek on there. Everybody knows who Stan is. He's a great guy, just been through a lot in his life. It's just that we're putting people in there that is well professional and educated into what they're doing, and it's free advertising for that person.
Yeah, it's great. So. Yeah, keep doing what you guys are doing, you know, and have that positive attitude towards, you know, hopefully people can come together. And I just think there's a lot of people out there saying that they're paranormal investigators, and they're not doing jack. You know what I mean?
No.
They're really not.
True.
And, you know, it's
well,
like,
you know,
we classify them as the paranormal police.
Yeah.
Well, you know, To quote one of my co-hosts that hosts with me on Sundays on the URN radio show, for the people out there that are in it for the wrong reasons and are in it, like, like you said, and don't do anything.
True.
Here's the quote from my friend that I just love saying. Put the batteries back in the remote and turn on Ghost Adventures and get out of the paranormal.
There you go.
We might just use that one night.
Yeah, we may have to say that on our show.
Yeah, do it.
You are a paranormal fan. A paranormal fan, you know? seriously, like, you know, you guys, I look at, like, other women in the paranormal field that, like, you know, say that they're ghost hunters, right? And
mm-hmm.
I don't see them actively going to locations and editing their video and actually going through the evidence and putting it out there and, you know, at all. Like, you go to my YouTube page, I got tons of stuff. And people have no idea, like, I've got 5 movies that I'm going to release at one freaking time. And they're all being worked on. And it's like people fucking talk behind my back and call me a joke and, you know, I use my sexuality to get ahead and, oh, I'm such a whore in this field. And it's like, okay, tell me who I've banged, you know. And
exactly.
I haven't heard of one person who's like, exactly. They have no idea. Like, I'm up all night going through my evidence, and I've created 5 freaking movies over the last 2 years. And I will release them. And, you know, it's like I look at other people, and it's like, what are they doing? Like, I put out all my stupid shit, okay? So I do make myself look like a freaking joke. Because while I'm going through this shit, I'm like, oh, my God, I did that. And I'm putting that on YouTube. Because I don't want to lose that. And it's like, I don't care if they see the worst of me. Because what they don't know is I'm making a movie.
That what?
But she's making a movie.
I have 5 movies.
Oh, my. That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are in the field who claiming to be this and that, who are actually, like, doing the other part of it. They may be going around to these events and, you know, traveling around every event and going after that. But as an individual, they don't own a camera with night shot, and they don't have the proper equipment, and they don't even know how to go home and, like, edit their audio and enhance it, you know, pull out the white noise and all that stuff, you know? And it's like, shut up, you know what I mean? Like, stop being an asshole to the people who are working.
There you go.
Hey, there's a team down here. A lot of us in Texas, we found out about it, and it was we all got pretty riled up about it because it pissed us off because it makes all of us in the field look like crap. Yeah, this team charges for their investigations, number one. That was the first thing that pissed us off. And number two, they for $200, you can take a 3-day course with them. They'll teach you how to do EVP sessions, how to break it down, and they guarantee you that you will get EVPs that are full sentences when they're done teaching.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know what's more insane is if the people are spending $200 to do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, they're retarded to just give their money.
Oh, my God.
I want to know if you say, and I think it was $500 for the initial consultation for a client.
Oh, my God.
Residential.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Does the team drive Hummers?
I want to know if you go in, you pay at $500, and they don't get rid of whatever's going on in your house, you get a refund.
I was just going to say, is there any kind of liability factor?
sorry, sir, I've only got it like $1,000. Can you give me change? They got one of them little change dispensers on their belt.
maybe the credit card swipe right on top of your cell phone.
Yeah, and they all have like Hummers. They're driving into your location. And each person has its own kit. They have a thermal imaging camera. You know, they got everything all the way down to your voice recorder.
They don't buy chunk packs on with new chunk packs on, do they?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, they're leaving and they're and they're waving at the people at the house and they're doing L for love, L for loser, douchebag, give me $500.
Oh, I bet they were playing a sucker.
You know, I told my radio family, since I own the network and I got all these shows, I told them, I said, look, I'm not going to put them on blast as far as say who they are or whatnot. I'll just say they're in Texas. And two of my hosts from Wednesday Night Show, Full Spectrum Radio, they actually contacted them to try to get them on the show to hear their side of the story, and
they
declined.
They
declined. We were going to give them an opportunity to explain their ass, you know, and in a very civil way. We weren't going to bash them or whatnot. Let them talk. Let's hear them out.
Yeah, there's always two sides, you know, so yeah.
But they declined, so there you go.
Wow.
I'm wondering if they're looking for any new investigators because, you know, my wallet is sort of thin right now, and I would sure love to make I could be their satellite office here in Ohio. yes.
Now, have you guys had any, do you guys use a spirit box?
Yeah, we use the PSP7, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I use. Jody, now Miss Jody over here, her ass got one of the craziest things through a damn ghost box, and hers was a Hack Shack that she got at Radio Shack.
Radio Shack, yeah, the white one.
Yeah, can I tell, no, it's black. Can I tell you guys, like, I had it for a year, and I didn't believe in them. I was like, this thing is such a piece of shit, like, it's never worked. But I did an event.
But it sure
felt like
Beyonce really nice.
I did an event, and I was like, okay, I'll just bring it to entertain them. You know what I mean? That's what I was thinking. And, I don't know if you guys have heard it. Have you heard My Skin You Alive?
No.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, I'll play it for you. You got to hear this. Like, it's so jacked up. And then, like, after that, like, the gates of hell opened up to my ghost box, and it talked so nasty, and, it tells me all kinds of stuff about people in the paranormal field, like, specific names.
Wow.
And
I hope I don't hear myself on there.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. You may come through, it may say, that mother. Fucker's a bastard, Jody. Now, it's crazy though. Like, it said one day it said mad, and I said, "Who are you mad at?" And it said my husband's name, and he had done pissed me off that day. I was pissed at him, and so I have I feel like the thing is a little too personal with me. And so I kind of haven't been playing with it for a while because it just started getting a little bit too personal, and I was like, I'm not liking this no more.
Jody, to ask, do you think that somehow that this box is intertwined with you then?
Yes. But then again,
somebody we know.
Okay, but then again, okay, here's another thing. Like, people in the paranormal field will come up, like, they'll say their last name, then their first name. And I am not, like, intertwined with these people.
Exactly.
And I'm not thinking about them. They're not on my mind.
Yeah.
And So, therefore, why? Why is it coming through?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that is. Wow.
Thoughts, like, you guys would really, really, I would love for you guys to just take off with it for, like, a mini session and just, you know, ask it questions, like, why does it get so personal with me? What's your problem?
Yeah, so why? What's up with? Maybe somebody's in.
Yeah, like, you know, the questions you guys were talking about, like, you know, and then asking spirits. Like, I really think that this thing, it just, that the night that I got this one, it just opened up, and it opened up, like, just so much. It really responds to me. Like, when I went to that location where there was a pedophile, and, like, the girl told me who investigates there the most that she's like, this the ghost box activity in this place is really nasty. Like, it calls me a whore and a slut and tells me it wants to do this and that. And so she was like, yeah, so just go in there and, like, basically just say, hey, you want a blowjob? She goes, just start it off like that. And, like, 10 minutes later, my ghost box says, the sports, the blowjob. And you're not going to say that on AM radio.
No,
not at all.
Not at all.
No matter if it's Pillow Talk Night or not. Or Sue Johansson or Dr. Ruth.
Kevin, where on the audio clip?
Well, scroll down to Terrify in the T's.
Ah, okay.
Hey, Jody, if anything, too. If when we bring the spirit box out to, like, that functions that Lee talked about earlier, I try to let everyone notice, you know, when there's a certain frequency that we get a lot of responses, I encourage people that when they leave, get in your car and go to that frequency and see if it's a talk radio, a radio station, or even if there's absolutely nothing happening at that time.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I never thought of that. All right, listen, I'm going to play it for you guys. So this is, I went to Rhodes Hall with Ghost Hunt Weekend January ago. So this is what I got. Do the other men here bother you?
That was clear as can be. I'll skin you alive.
Yeah.
It stopped scanning.
And
you hear it.
Oh. And then it died. It died after it said that. So the whole room just
started
screaming.
So it drained those batteries quick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mhm. Yeah. It was like, holy shit. Like, then, you know, I believe that, okay, there's something here with this. And I really believe in white noise. I really do.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
here's, you know, I have a lot of, you know, we've interviewed a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that are more on the scientific side of the paranormal that will explain away, you know, a lot of stuff that comes to a spirit box. And so I started doing some stuff to kind of oblige them, right, when they say that, how much human influence do we have on the radio frequencies, right?
Sure.
So I was like, okay, well, let's take the human element out of this, you know. And one of the things we did, we were at a location, and we thought of this at the spur of the moment. I know you guys have probably had that experience well. You're like, just at the spur of the moment, you just try something that you never even pre-thought about. And we were getting responses to the SP7, and
one of the guys pulls, you know, just reaches in his pocket and grabs a coin, and before he pulls it out of his pocket, and I have it all on video so I can document it, he pulls it, he goes, before I pull this out of the pocket, I'm going to toss it in the air, and I want you to call heads or tails. Well, him and, you know, it's a 50-50 shot in our brains whether or not we get it right in our head, right? So we can't really influence the environment. So he tosses it. It hits the floor. Of course, it's dark. We had our flashlights off. So we turn the flashlight on. We listen, and it said heads. So then we're like, okay, let's go find the coin. And we turned our flashlight on and found it, and I'll be damned if it wasn't heads. And
oh, awesome.
Right after that, we turned the flashlight off again without studying the coin or anything, and my teammate goes, what's the year on the coin? Because we hadn't looked, right?
Sure.
It's in 1985. We turned on our flashlight and looked, and I'll be damned if it wasn't 1985. Now,
how
you explain
cool
to me that.
Cool
explain
that
to me scientifically how the hell that happened.
That's
wow.
Impossible. Especially
and
then, yeah,
that's
a good idea.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing that we tried, and you guys can play around with it, I have one of my co-hosts, he's in the paranormal, and he's in Dallas. Well, I'm 2 hours east of him, right? And our team was going on an investigation in Louisiana the next state over. Well, I told him I'm going to do an experiment, and I told the team this too. I said, stay off of Facebook. Don't say where you're going, you know, the whole nine yards. Just be quiet, because I didn't want him to be influenced at all. So he had no idea where we're going, nothing. We told him when we got to the location, we'd turn on our SB7, and he, in turn, would turn on his ghost box over there in Dallas. So we linked them up. You know, we basically turned them on at the same time and had them start scanning. He started asking through his ghost box in his house what state we were in, what town we were in, and the name of the location. And when he'd get a response, he'd text it to us. And my teammate was holding the phone, and he dropped it. He goes, holy shit. And I said, what? He said, Louisiana, Shreveport, the name of the location. And then he started naming off all the names of the people that were there.
Wow.
And he got all that information from his house. And let's see, that would probably be, we were probably about 4.5 hours from him at the location.
Wow.
Wow.
So there's more to those spirit boxes than just running them and talking, you know, and trying to get answers. There's something about
them.
Oh,
yeah, they really freak me out. They freak me out.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Wow. What the fuck is this?
I mean, I still love it, and I think it's a great tool. I think it's a great tool to use for them because they don't have to manifest and use, like, all of their energy. It's like a better communicating tool, you know?
True.
I mean, I've asked all kinds of crazy questions and gotten so many crazy results.
But,
you know
the thing about it, and I'll ask all of y'all this question, have you noticed in different locations, if you got multiple pieces of equipment, K2, mail meter, you know, whole nine yards, and some of the equipment that you use that you don't normally get responses, will get responses in one location, won't get it in the next. It's like they selectively figure out which one they want to play with or communicate through. And it's
totally
never
agree.
The same piece of equipment.
Yep.
I totally agree.
And one of the greatest things.
Totally agree. You know, and you know what? I feel that too. Like if you take that stuff out of that room and come back, it may be a totally different piece of equipment from what it was earlier.
Yeah.
Very intelligent. I think it's, I totally agree with you.
Remember Mansfield on the 4x7 recorders? And three of the recorders, it just sounded like wah, 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 but the other recorder had actually the EVP on it.
Had the word.
So just like,
like
you said, it was selective to who or what it wanted to talk to.
Mm-hmm. because I'm even wondering, and this might be something else I'd experiment with, take the same piece of equipment in a location and start handing it off to different people and see which one gets the most responses. And if they're getting, if that individual is getting responses, then hand them another piece of equipment and do the same thing throughout the team again and see if that same person is getting the responses. So it's not necessarily the piece of equipment, it's the person.
That's a good point, too.
Very good point.
Damn.
Very.
Well, it won't be too hard to draw since there's only four of us if necessary.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's getting a low group.
I hate those teams where there's 16 or 32 people on a team. Okay, Joe, go do this again.
Exactly. That sucks. Because these teams will be so big.
Yeah.
You know, those are the type of things that go through my mind is I'm always thinking outside the box and trying to figure out new ways of testing shit.
Sure.
And you have to. You can't be closed-minded to what everyone else is doing.
You can't. Just because you see it and somebody's doing it, you cannot follow. You can try it, but it's not going to work for you if it's working for him, you know? We just don't know that.
Yeah,
I want to develop some experiments where I type them up, the whole scientific method, right? Because a lot of people, you know, and you guys host a radio show, you hear it all the time. Well, our team's scientific. Walking around a K2 in a haunted location doesn't mean you're scientific.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You got to do what we all taught in high school. We all learned the scientific method with control variable, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
Why don't you set up an experiment and do it? And what I want to do is try to find some that actually I'm getting results and pass it out to different people in the United States and see if they get the same results, because there could be something dealing with the environment, the where they're located, the history of the land. You know, there's lots of variables, and I want to see the differences of what they're doing. You know, everybody will be doing the exact same experiment the exact same way, but then they get different results. And we need to compare that and figure shit out.
That is so true.
You let the egos down.
Yeah. That's what's holding us all back. We get frustrated. We all get frustrated. And if everybody would drop those egos, we, instead of taking little tiny baby steps like we're doing, we would take leaps and bounds in this field.
Could you imagine if the egos were down and how far in advance this field would be if we all was just, we were all so uppity up and way to go, way to go, way to go. Could you imagine? There would not be one person, like we mentioned in the past in the show, that you would be a brick wall in front of you, because we'd constantly be going, 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 going. But we can't, because we always get stopped by one idiot, and it affects the entire field, because we all got to stop, you know, because we're all nosy. Yeah, we're great. Yeah, we all got to listen. But it's just the point. It's like if we could all stay on the same page, put the egos down, we would be so far in advance, it'd be sick.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That is so true.
You know, because everybody's got so many great ideas, but everybody listens to them, but it gets so cloudy in the paranormal field that it just goes away. But if we all keep that bright sunshine around us and just say, hey, way to go, man. Keep up. What do you guys got going on? You know, and then boom, 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 boom. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
It would be like, you know, it would be like a mad scientist lab, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking insane.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I've told Jody for as long as I've known her, stay you, be you, keep doing what you're doing. Who gives a crap what people think, you know?
Absolutely.
What some of the stuff you do may not be something that I would do as an investigator, but I'm not going to shun you for it because you're doing something different from me. I want to see what happens when you do it, you know, because that's awesome.
That's right. You know, God made us different. So, you know, you have a different technique. You know, it could be the same equipment, but you have a different way of using that piece of equipment than I do. And that's why I like to hear about people's ideas and techniques. Of, oh, have you ever, you know, took the K2 and done this? What? No. You know, or have you, you know, took the ghost box and did this? No.
You know, it's just because we don't stop and listen to our fellow colleague deciders. We're always thinking it's a rat race to where I'm going to get the better evidence. I'm going to get the better EDPs. I've got a better design on my T-shirt. I've got a better website. I've got more likes on my post that I post on Drama Book. Who cares? You know, it's just like none of that makes no sense.
Yeah. And I guarantee you this, I won't be wearing a schoolgirl outfit and talking to a spirit box like Jody does.
You know, every time I show that to a guy, they're like, Jesus, Jody. And I'm like, I know, right? Like, I mean, you know, I don't live my normal life like that. You know what I mean? But it's like, if I'm going into a certain type of situation and I'm feeling kind of risky and I might say to the owner of the place, hey, you know, I kind of had this idea and it would really piss people off, so can I do it? And they go, and I'm like, okay, cool, you know, and I kind of do it to, you know, poke back like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, yep, just leave me be. I'm sorry that, you know, I'm a woman with tits and an ass, and I'm also intelligent, and in some ways I'm better than you because you're an asshole, you know? Like, but at the same time, I can mentally fuck with you like you mentally fuck with me. So
there
let's do it. Call And, you know, and I didn't put myself out there as the bad girl to be the good girl, you know? So when I'm bad, like, are you surprised? Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Get over it. Well, leave me be. I'm harmless to people. I'm not after anybody's husbands at these events or boyfriends or... You know, it's like, I'm there to do business. I'm there to, you know, talk to people, sell my product. Yeah, that's what it is about for me. Yeah.
Well, we're down to the end of the show, guys.
Don't change, Jody. Don't change at all. Don't change.
No, don't change.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing good stuff. And when I get back on Facebook, I'm going to send you guys a message, get a link for that. I'll promote it for you, and I'll ask some other people to do it as well, because I really, that is a great idea, and more people need to hear about that. And, you know, and I'll let you guys know about the hospital, because yeah, if things work out with it, the guy said I can have access to it, you know, like literally as much as
definitely.
I want. Like I could probably move in the place and he would let me if I wanted to run it like full time. But hey, and the cool thing is I found out that this hospital was filmed in a movie, The Fugitive. So when they came in on the helicopter, they landed on that helicopter pad out in front of the hospital, and I asked the owner if I could paint a goddamn Ouija board on the helicopter pad, and he said yes. And I said yes.
Oh my
god! But I decided since it's a helicopter pad, it really should be an alien pad, the mothership pad. So I think an alien face would be more appropriate. Would that not be awesome?
So you could probably paint it as a giant crop circle too.
Yeah. Mothership welcome, you know?
Yeah.
Where's your freaking landing? Walk in this building and we'll film you.
And, you don't need a key. You don't need a key.
No, you can walk through. You can come through the ceiling.
I want to be there when the mothership arrives.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, go ahead and land your UFO right here. You are welcome. It's for you. Like, nobody in the world has a helicopter pad for UFO ship. Like, they would all be up there flying around going, who the fuck is this bitch down here? What's wrong with her?
A helicopter tries to land and she goes out there and waves it off. Oh, you ain't be taking this spot, bitch. Back off.
Well, before we get off the air, guys, throw out your websites once again for everybody.
Sure. It's www.paravisions. It's paravisions.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Paravisions Paranormal or our individual personal pages, Leal and Jim Wilson. And we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email on our website. Be great.
Yep,
sweet.
Definitely.
Well, thanks so much, Jim and Lee, for coming
thank
on the show tonight.
Thank you all for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
this was awesome. You guys rock.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, you guys have a great night.
You too, buddy.
You too.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, nice. Yeah, you know, I've talked to Lee on the phone, and I've seen those guys at events and stuff like that, and they were always so nice and respectful to me.
Yeah.
So, thank you for inviting them on. And
I first heard... heard them get interviewed on Ghost Hunting Texas Style and listen to the whole show. And I was like, man, I want to talk to these guys. And because they really got good heads on their shoulders in the field. And those are the type of people I want to talk to.
Right. Well, I'm working on getting us a guest that a friend of mine, Jim Decker, that I'm doing the event in Chicago with next month. He went to a event about 3 weeks ago, and he was having a lot of back problems, and he had met this lady who claimed to be a healer. And so she would, you know, I guess he had been like, oh, you know, my back is, like, killing me. And she was like, oh, well, I'm the healer. Let me, you know, do something to you. And so he was like, okay, you know. And he said his back has not hurt since.
Wow.
And he contacted me and said, hey, Jody, I think you need to interview this girl. So I reached out, I sent her a message, and I let her know that I would put you in contact with her because maybe we could get her on some of the other shows as well. Because I don't think she's very well known. So, you know, it'll be great to hear about her stories and how she discovered that she has this ability. We've never had a healer on our show, so I think that would be fun.
I got to get the booking. I only have guests for next week, and then the calendar is completely open. So, yeah.
Well, now we've got guests. We can grab some of his people or something.
Next week, we'll have paranormal investigator Eric Perry on the show.
Eric Perry?
Mm-hmm.
Who is he?
He's part of Haunted Entertainment.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Well,
yeah. That's what we've got going on next week, and Full Spectrum's tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central with Matt and Dennis. That's what we got going on, and I will be having the other two from Paravisions, Lee's wife and Patrick from Paravisions will be on the Sunday show, not this week. It'll be August 4th. We'll be having another conversation on URN Radio with Paravisions.
wonderful. You know, they're also really, like, that whole group, seriously, like, they were always just so nice to me and so respectful. And,
I'll have to look them up, because my two aunts live in Cincinnati, and when me and the family go visit, we go to Cincinnati, so I'm going to have to look them up when I go up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I bet they would probably take you to, you know, a location and let you have some fun with you. And, yeah, they're good people. They've I've never heard of them going out and starting drama. It's people creating drama for them, you know.
And we're going to have to get that we're going to have to get that roast that we talked about. We're going to have to get that lined up.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to find some people to come on and that actually spend a little bit of time and put together something. You know what I mean? Because otherwise it'll just be stupid. Like, you know, if you're going to
what we can do at some point is, and not tell him, is invite his other half to call in.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I might even reach out to her and just say, hey, give me some dirt, and I'll put my stank on something, and I will write something really naughty and nasty, and I'll get down in the dirt with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
So he's laughing his ass off, going, how the hell did she find that out? Dang.
Yeah,
I got my
way.
Exactly. We should do a Google Plus night. Do a Google Plus night with certain people, and have them like we'll just go through all the best stories and like, you know,
right.
Put our stank on it. I really think that would be freaking hilarious, because he is such a goofball. And he's also such a good man, really good man.
Definitely.
And he's got that humor that he could just take it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I like that idea, too. But, you know, it's going to require a little bit more time than just booking. You know?
Think about off air. Before we get off air, just think about off air and hit me up sometime of people that you may know that have locations, haunted locations, that they want to come on the air and talk about their location, their building.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, all right, what you going to play me tonight?
Me?
Yeah.
Are you talking to me? What am I going for the rest
of
the night?
You gonna play us out?
Oh, hell yeah. I thought, because, you know, earlier I was thinking to myself, tonight I could literally go out and get wasted. Okay? I don't know why, but, you know, every once in a while, I don't drink much, but I get the urge, like, ooh, tonight could be a good night. Tonight could have been a good night, but then the night just kept going on, and you're just like, screw that, I ain't freaking going to start partying now, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, so we are going to set it off with...
Oh, and remember to push end episode when you're ready to shut it down.
Oh, you know I got this. I got it. All right.